We get things underway by hopping on board the telephone line and welcoming in our friend Sean Latch from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Hello there, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Where did April go?
Yeah, it's hard to believe we're at the very end of the month. And May is almost here. In fact, we just have one more April show left, which is this Friday night at 7 o'clock, our black hole show with a special guest, Henning Hack, who is a meteorite specialist. I'm going to bring some Martian meteorites for folks to see at that program, too. So, but yeah, April has flown by, and you know, April showers supposedly are supposed to give way to May flowers, so we'll have to wait and see on that again.
Absolutely. Well, as we head into May, lots of great new programs at the center, and you kick it off on Sunday with the family show, One World, One Sky. I'm in. You say Big Bird, and I'm there.
Yeah, Big Bird and Elmo are family favorites, of course, and this program is a lot of fun. You join Big Bird and Elmo and get to learn a little bit about day and night and travel to the moon and learn a little bit about some of the constellations we see in the sky and how we all share the same sky. So it's a great program for families, and I think the kids will really enjoy it.
And the Friday show, the new one for the month of May that kicks off a week from Friday, is Legends of the Northern Sky.
Yeah, this program is a brand new show that we've brought in from TELUS World of Science up in Edmonton, and it looks at, of course, Native American and Indigenous Americans of the Western Plains of Canada. We're going to be adding a little bit of Wabanaki lore to it as well, and really looking at the way that that group of folks, you know, looked at the sky and used the sky for a variety of different things. And we see some really interesting new legends. There's one about Okek the Fisher, which is another way of looking at the Big Dipper. And, of course, there's the traditional bear ones as well, but there's lots of different really cool legends in this program. And really we'll get an idea of how, you know, how the sky was important to Native cultures in a variety of different ways. So I think folks will really enjoy it.
And music shows on Sundays, kicking off this Sunday with a little Elton John music.
Yep, we keep rolling on with our music shows. So Rocket Man himself, Elton John, going to be in this, you know, featured in this next program. There'll be some Crocodile Rockin' along the way, and you know, Saturday Night's All Right. So a whole bunch of his hits to really celebrate Sir Elton John in the dome, set to some stunning new visuals as well.
I happen to see today a little email in my my workplace that a group of our Brewer High School students are going up for a tour next week, so you make sure they're on their best behavior.
We'll do our best. This time of year, of course, we're starting to see a lot of school groups, which is wonderful, and it's really great to be getting the kids back in the dome, you know, after almost this close to 2-year hiatus, if you will. So it's been a lot of fun to have school groups and both elementary, middle, and high school groups. And next week is a really busy week. Of course, we just had the school break week recently, so now it's ramping back up. And there's some really cool things coming up in our skies as well during the month of May. We kick off the month early with a meteor shower, the Eta Aquarius meteor shower, which peaks on the morning of May 5th. And that shower gives around roughly 25 to 30 meters an hour, and the moon phase is going to be only around 12%, so it's going to be really good for seeing this shower. And it's actually the leftovers from, of course, the Halley's Comet. So when Halley's Comet goes around the sun, it leaves sort of a debris field out there in space. Earth plows through that, and that's when we get meteor showers. And the Eta Aquarius every year again, sort of some of the remains of Halley's Comet, if you will. And then we have a lunar eclipse on the evening of May 15th and 16th. And we haven't had one of those in a while. Total lunar eclipse. And this one actually, the timing works out pretty well, though it is a Sunday night into a Monday morning. But the eclipse is going to start around 10:27 p.m. And then totality begins at 11:29 and goes to 12:53 in the morning on May 16th, and then it will end, the eclipse will end around 1:55. We are planning to do free observing at the Clark Telescope the evening of the 27th, or excuse me, the evening of the 15th, starting at 10 p.m. So the evening of the 15th, starting at 10 p.m., basically a half hour before the partial phases of the eclipse begin, we're going to open up. That will be, of course, weather permitting. So I always remind folks, you know, don't come out if it's cloudy or raining, because we won't be able to open the observatory. But if it's clear, we'll be there and trying to show folks a great view of, you know, a total lunar eclipse when the moon passes through the Earth's shadow, turns that nice deep reddish brown or coppery color, and it's really something to see.
What planets are we likely to see in the month of May?
So our planets right now are primarily in the morning sky, Venus, Jupiter, Mars, and Saturn, all in a nice row right before dawn, and Jupiter and Venus actually a little bit later this week, on Friday morning, or actually Saturday morning, I should say, are going to be pretty close together, only about a degree apart. So, and those are the third and fourth brightest things we see in the sky, respectively, after the sun and moon, so hard to miss in the early morning sky, and Mars and Saturn a bit behind them, not quite as bright. You may catch Mercury a little bit early in the month, right after sunset over in the western sky, but you'll have to catch it again. It's sort of in that evening twilight. It'll be a little bit of a challenge, but it is still there.
And what's up with the James Webb Space Telescope? I was reading the other day that it's in the midst of what's called the final stage of alignment. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so of course they have the segmented mirror that they've been working on to get all of the pieces aligned, and they finally just recently got cooled down to the operating temperature. They're basically only a few degrees above absolute zero, because they're doing their observations in infrared, so they would have to be really cold. So they basically have been, you know, getting the telescope in place, getting it cooled down, and getting those segments aligned. One of the initial images that came out, which was an alignment image, not a science release image, showed some little galaxies in the background field. So, I mean, this telescope is going to give us stunning views of the universe. First science images and major image release is planned for early July. We are one of the NASA partners on that, community partners, and we will be doing a special event probably around that date. So we're waiting to, hopefully later in May, we're supposed to get an idea of when exactly that release is supposed to happen. And then we'll be planning some events around that in July, and also some in September, because we know that, of course, it'll be great to do some summer events, but there will be people traveling. So we'll try to do something again in fall for the kids and as well for those who may have been traveling during that time.
That's very exciting. And what's happening with Artemis 1?
So Artemis 1, right now they're going through some testing with it, and the plan is to do a launch, basically an uncrewed launch, if you will. And inside that, they're going to be stacking a bunch of what they call these CubeSat satellites, these sort of mini satellites that do a variety of different science. And because it's going to be on Artemis, they'll be able to send those satellites out to deep space. Usually most CubeSats when we send them up are kind of in low Earth orbit and primarily doing Earth observations. But a couple on board that Artemis mission are slated to go to the moon and be a little bit farther out, so that should be sort of interesting too. And of course, the hope is that, you know, Jessica Meir is supposed to be on one of the first human crew Artemis missions to return to the moon, and keeping our fingers crossed, she'll be the not only the first woman, but the first Mainer to walk on the moon. So that would be pretty cool as well. So, and representing the great state of Maine there on the moon.
That's great stuff. Sean Latch from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Sean, thanks as always for the update and visiting with us. Have a great month of May, and we'll check in with you again before too long.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Sean. Sean Latch on Dan 10.